Hello, and welcome to Marching On, brought to you by the ACLU of Kansas. I'm Micah Kubik, Executive Director of the ACLU of Kansas, and we thank you for listening. The start of a new year brings many changes, including new legislative sessions. Already, the new cycle is aflame as lawmakers at the national and state level are advancing new policies that unambiguously target our civil liberties. For all the attention placed on the Trump administration and on Congress, it's not just federal policymakers who are at work. Right here in Kansas, lawmakers began the state legislative session in Topeka in early January. And like their national counterparts, they have already proposed a number of bills that would erode our civil liberties. If these threats to your rights have you fired up, well, you in the right place. The ACLU of Kansas is an organization of action, and we know that you share that zeal. We've long been on record as saying that fighting for our rights at the state and local level is just as important and usually more accessible than getting caught up in the national news cycle. So, for this episode of the podcast, we're excited to host a discussion among some folks who have the difficult but rewarding job of advocating directly with lawmakers in support of our rights. They'll share their insights on the work and this year's Kansas legislative session, but also some information and advice meant to directly aid you in being an advocate with your own lawmakers. On this episode, we welcome Taryn Jones, Policy Director at Equality Kansas, along with Donovan Dillon and Chloe Chafin from advocacy organization Loud Light. Rounding out the discussion are members of our own ACLU of Kansas Dream Team, Field Director Leslie Bush and Policy Strategist Lindsay Callender. The conversation is moderated by ACLU of Kansas Communications Specialist Alina Medikowski. So, without further ado, let's hand it off to Alina to guide us through the discussion.
To start us off, Lindsay, do you think you could give us a quick summary of what happens in our Kansas Capitol during legislative session?
Sure. The Kansas Legislature, which consists of both the Kansas House of Representatives and the Kansas Senate, convenes on the second Monday in January for the annual session and generally adjourns around April 12th. During the interim period, joint and special committees also will meet to discuss issues that are assigned either by legislative leadership or by statute. In the House, Republicans hold about 70% of the seats, and in the Senate, Republicans hold 78%. This means that there's not a lot of hope for a governor veto because the two-thirds majority is held by the Republican caucus. A day in the life for a policy strategist at the ACLU currently looks like tracking legislation as they are introduced into committee, seeing if there's going to be hearings. So a day in the life for me while the legislature is in session consists of legislative tracking, so watching bills as they are introduced into committee, looking at their scheduled hearings to make sure that we're coordinating with our teams, both our field team to coordinate which testimonies need to be collected from our constituents, as well as our comms team to make sure that live action updates are being posted on our website. Also looks like trips to Topeka to present oral testimony as well as written testimony, just to make sure that the public's voices are being heard underneath the Capitol Dome.
So a day in the life in the Kansas State Legislature definitely looks different for Kansas policy staff member compared to, say, a Loud Light fellow. So the Kansas State Legislature has 19 joint committees, 16 standing committees in the Senate, and 30 standing committees in the House. And throughout the year, Loud Light fellows will be tracking these committees. Chloe and Donovan, can you walk us through what that process might look like?
Yeah, so as Alina said, my role is that I am the fellowship manager, and so throughout the year, I teach three different rotating student fellowships, and obviously the springtime is dedicated to the legislative session. So right now, this semester, I have 15 wonderful students from all across the state at seven different colleges and universities, all the way from Fort Hays to Johnson County, and those folks will participate in about 12, 16-week program, depending on the length of the session that year, and they will be following committees. Each student will be assigned to two committees, so that means this year we are covering 30 different committees, and they will learn about different skills such as submitting testimony, writing op-eds, grassroots lobbying, and other similar skills. At least once during the session, these students will get to come to one of our State House Advocacy Days in person so that they can meet with their elected representatives and have a chance to see what everything looks like up close.
So in conjunction with the fellows that come to the Capitol and track a lot of data, we also have our community action teams, which we refer as CAT teams, which supplement this work. A lot of this tracking work goes into our weekly legislative recaps, tracking bills throughout the session, tracking committees, and summarizing those into key moments, key bills that Kansans should have on their radar. These quick 5 to 10 minute videos come out on a weekly basis and serve as a means of accessibility for everyday people to know what's happening under the dome.
Thank you. Following up on that, Leslie, is it possible for non-students or non-CAT members or Kansans previously unexperienced in legislative session to also participate through legislative tracking?
Yeah, definitely. All the committees you mentioned are available on the Kansas Legislature's YouTube channel, so you can live stream any committee hearing that is happening. You can see testimony, you can submit testimony. So folks, the best way that you can advocate for legislation is by submitting testimony yourself. And we're going to talk about this a lot in this podcast, but the thing I really want people to leave with is you don't have to be an expert on every issue. You just have to be someone who cares about the issues that you're advocating on. And you can submit testimony written or go in person, and they also often have a way to participate virtually. So on our website, aclukansas.org/2025KSLEG, that's 2025KSLEG, we have what's called a legislative hub. So you can find access to a testimony toolkit, so you can read step-by-step how to complete a testimony and how to submit it. Also, part of our role here at ACLU is to help you do that, go through the process with you. If there's an issue that you care about, reach out to us. If you want to submit testimony, we can walk you through that process and make sure you have the tools you need. Also, on that KSLEG hub, we have bill summaries. You can find out where the ACLU of Kansas stands on each of the bills that are priorities right now. We also will have action alerts happening when we feel like we have the momentum to stop a bill. And so just stay in touch through that KSLEG hub and our frequent action alerts that go out to stop any attacks on civil liberties. So beyond testimony and grassroots lobbying, we also have our local advocacy work. So part of what we're doing at ACLU Kansas is building a firewall for freedom at the local level. And we're focusing on voting rights and criminal legal reform proactive campaigns in Sedgwick, Wyandotte, and Johnson County.
Circling back to testimony itself, speaking from personal experience, I'll just say that giving testimony can be really cathartic and really an amazing experience for people trying to get more involved in Kansas legislative session, or just for people who have been looking for a platform to speak their voice on issues that are important to them. Taryn, do you think you could describe what the testimony process is like for your volunteers, new or experienced?
Yeah, so testimony for our volunteers, we try once a year to have a dedicated training on how to lobby your legislators. This includes how to submit testimony, whether that be written testimony or oral testimony. People can always contact us if they have questions on how to submit testimony. Some committees do still require paper copies, so we're also helping. So if that is the case, please get with one of us so that we are able to help you submit testimony. To find any testimony rules, you can find that on the Kansas Legislature website under committees. And then when you click on that committee, there will be a sheet that'll have the committee rules, and that should have rules for testimony in there. So this year in the Kansas Legislature, we're definitely expecting to see the trans healthcare bill come back again, especially with the way the legislature is comprised. So that's one thing we'll be focusing on. If you follow our Facebook or Twitter, we will be able to keep everyone up to date on all of those bills. As far as testifying, we just try to encourage all of our volunteers to speak their mind and while being respectful, but also to speak from personal experience.
Speaking of those stories from personal experience from one's own POV, what is the importance of that? What's the importance of giving a platform to those volunteers?
So I think volunteer testimony is so important because it's important for the legislature to hear stories of real Kansans and how all the bills impact people's lives in real ways.
Yeah, I would totally agree with that. I would also add, you know, I think it comes from a place of love. I think for a lot of folks, like, you're going up to give testimony and you might be talking to a table full of people that are really intimidating. A lot of them may not agree with you. some of them may be hostile towards you, but I think the more important thing is, like, behind you is typically like a packed room of people who are there with you and support you. And then also out in Kansas, you are speaking for the community, you know, you're speaking for your own community. I think that's when you're speaking for your personal experience, you're not showing up just for yourself, but for everyone that you care about. And I think it's really a beautiful act of love because it takes courage for sure. You know, it's not easy to go up and tell your own story, or even if you're not telling a story, it's not easy to speak in front of, you know, a room full of politicians for sure. But it really comes from a place of love. And I think, and, you know, I think people feel that.
One of my favorite parts of my job is that I get to help demystify a lot of notions of power for young people. When I meet fellows for the first time, they tell me often that they like have a really negative connotation of the word lobbying. We picture like the Monopoly Man, and that gets really scary for folks. But whenever you watch testimony or you look at like who is currently submitting, you see that a lot of times there will be a certain bill that is kind of copy and pasted from national organizations that's not really tailored directly to the needs or wants of Kansans. And you'll see that the people who are currently submitting testimony a lot of times tend to be, you know, five people from out-of-state organizations, because there is no residency requirement for submitting testimony. And yet, because it's really hard and people don't know how to give testimony without groups such as the ACLU, Loud Light, or Quality Kansas kind of shepherding them through that process, we don't have as many, like, average, you know, average Kansans, just like your neighbors, who are able to, like, help counteract those messages. And so I think it's really important that we give folks this opportunity and encourage them to take their own power and go, you know, give their story at the state capitol, because then we can get like a much more representative picture of what's going on the ground and like how people feel about that. And I would argue that listening to the average person who doesn't do this for a living, somebody who's just experiencing these issues in their daily life, I think that story matters more than somebody who gets paid to do this from out of state. And so we really need to make sure that we are providing that counterweight to some of those special interest groups.
Yeah, and just touching on all of those really important points, Loud Light's demographic is specifically 18 to 35-year-olds, because studies have shown if you don't buy into advocacy, voting, the system of government and concept, you're likely to not participate for your entire life, which has a very big impact on like this idea of a democracy. So specifically for that age group, I think giving testimony is super important because it builds a really important skill of, you know, public speaking. But even more than that, you're doing it in the context of the legislature, like Chloe was saying, these big, scary people. And a big part of that is leaning into discomfort, especially taking into consideration the makeup of the legislature. We don't get wins in ways that are super cozy and easy and comfortable. And I think leaning into discomfort for young people, especially coming into contact with systems of power, is really impactful and a really good experience for people getting into advocacy, but even more so wanting to see change. As a result of that advocacy. I think secondly, it gives people the opportunity to own their lived experiences and narrative. Oftentimes in the state house, we see a lot of misinformation, disinformation, and falsehoods. And like Chloe was saying, even narratives that don't exist in our state. And seeing people not only be comfortable in sharing their story, but correcting those narratives and recentering those conversations around what Kansas residents want and need from whatever age group or demographic that is really powerful. And then lastly, I would say just like taking up space. The committee room, although not very big and there's not that much seating, can feel huge when you're standing up behind that podium. So taking up that space and learning to find comfort and power in that, I think, is really important, and why testimony and learning how to give testimony is a very important skill to have.
Those bills that you were mentioning that are being introduced but definitely do not reflect the interests of Kansans, more so reflecting the interests of like these outside, out of state, special interest groups. Do we have any examples of legislation we can point to?
I would say that that represents a lot of the voting rights legislation we see. We're seeing voting rights legislation that's not a response to problems in our election system, but instead is sort of based in this really misguided, misinformed notion that our elections are not run well, because our elections are run really well in Kansas. Our election officials do their jobs every election. They're experts in what they do. And yet there are attempts every single year by the legislature to make it harder to vote. We also know that Kansans want it to be easier to vote in Kansas. We tested that. We know that's true. But there are these outside special interest groups that come in and sort of create this false narrative that's very distracting and confusing, because it's not based in the lived experience of Kansans. It's based in trying to make it harder for people to vote.
I think that happens with LGBTQ legislation a lot too. For example, bills like the trans sports bill and the trans healthcare ban are all written by people who are out of state, and it's kind of a copy and paste thing. I know last year with bills, especially the healthcare bill, we had hundreds of written and oral testimony from people opposing it, and they had maybe 6 or 7 people who were for it, and most of them were out of state. And so I think it's important to remember that a lot of these bills were written by people out of state and aren't necessarily reflecting the will of everyday Kansans. One thing we try and emphasize when we're talking to people about doing testimony, especially in instances like that where the bill is kind of pre-written from somewhere else and that they have people from out of state coming in, is to talk about how you are a Kansan in your testimony. I think there's this like preconceived notion that legislators don't move at all. They have their set ways of thinking and that's it. And while that is true for some legislators, a lot of legislators can be swayed, especially with personal testimony, especially with people in their district. So it's always really important to have testimony and to write your own legislators how you feel about a bill, because you never know how that could impact their decisions.
Kind of jumping back to the example of like voting rights issues that Leslie had touched on, related to this issue of like, we need testimony by Kansans for Kansans. Just today at the time of recording, there was a hearing about a bill that comes up every single year for the past few years that would get rid of the 3-day grace period for mail-in ballots. And so for Loud Light, in addition to just being youth focused, also voting rights in particular are kind of our bread and butter. And this is really important to me working with college students, because I often will work with students, especially like in the summertime, maybe that during the school year go to school out of state, but they are still Kansas residents and it is still their intention to return after graduation. And you know, with a state that has most counties losing population, like this is something that we should really care about, is making sure that we are responsive to the needs of young people and that we make sure that young people desire to come home whenever they are done getting whatever specialized degree they had to go away for. And just with the instance right now of this 3-day grace period, it makes me think of a lot of out-of-state students who might still be sending their ballot back home to Kansas through the mail system, which is federally run and operated. And because of federal failures in staffing, or you know, even just like things such as the trucks can't hit the roads with the mail to deliver it on time because of icy weather conditions, any of these instances can cause mail delays that are not the fault of the student or the person who is trying to return their ballot, who did so on time, but it didn't get delivered, not because of anything that they as a Kansan did, but because of federal government failures. And I don't believe that they should be punished for it. I believe that their right to vote should still be heard and counted. But on this instance this year, though, like I said, it comes up every year, in favor of stripping this important protection, there were only 7 Kansans, 0 Kansas organizations, and 3 out-of-state organizations that were in favor of removing this privilege and this right that we need. However, in opposition, people asking to protect our voter rights, there were 44 individual Kansans, 8 Kansas organizations, 0 out-of-state organizations. So looking at 10 people being in favor of it, many of which are coming from out-of-state, and looking at 52 people that are mostly individual, everyday Kansans asking for us to keep it, I think it's really important that we make sure that the legislation we're making is balanced.
A lot of out-of-state think tanks, outside groups, do a lot, like Chloe was saying, as posing themselves on experts on these issues. They invite legislators to conferences, luncheons, and that's how we see a lot of this influence. And because, you know, these people are getting paid a salary to clock in every day, show up to the legislature, and over a very lovely lunch, convince these legislative votes in these ways, we need to be doing the same as everyday Kansans to ensure that we are holding their feet to the fire and that they're being held accountable to us.
Right. Because as we know, the people that are experts in, I'm going back to SB4, the 3-day grace period bill that you were talking about, the experts wouldn't come in the form of those lobbyists in suits, right? They would come in the form of Lawrenceans who understand what it's like to have issues with mail-in voting and losing their ballots from the primary. They would come from real-life Kansans. And so other than providing that direct perspective through testimony, are there other ways Kansans can get involved this legislative session under the dome?
A lot of organizations do advocacy days, and that's a great way to get involved and to learn more about the legislation that's coming up and to find your own community. Equality Kansas has their lobby day coming up on March 4th at 10 a.m. on the first floor, and so we'd love to have everyone there, but it's a great way to find community and to hear from real Kansans who this legislation impacts.
Yeah, so we've touched on the advocacy days with Loudlight as well. Like I said, we bring up our fellows at least a couple times each throughout the session. And then, you know, Donovan will recruit all of his community action team volunteers and those kinds of folks. But it's open to other members of the public. Even if you haven't volunteered with us before, you can just go to loudlight.org/events and you'll be able to find the full list of advocacy days. Loudlight makes sure that during the legislative session, we have our folks there at least, you know, once a week and sometimes more. But we are always able to help get you in contact with your legislator in whatever form, in whatever day that looks like for you. And I think it's really, really powerful because another myth that I've heard from some folks when I've been on college campuses and I've been recommending folks to apply for the fellowships is I've had a lot of young people tell me that they didn't know they were allowed in the State House, which they thought that it was either just a big fancy museum or they thought that you needed to have legislator security clearance to even go inside the building. And that breaks my heart a little bit. And I understand how people have that impression because we don't hear the state and local news as much as we hear the federal polarization. But I really want you to have that experience if you're able to see what it's like to feel the vibes on the ground, because for a lot of people, they'll kind of walk away realizing that their legislator is just some guy, and I mean that in the best way possible. They are not a special, smarter class of people than you. They are just people who knocked a lot of doors, who care, and so many of them are very caring and are very conscientious about the job that they have in front of them. But again, if they're brand new, if it's a policy area that they're not familiar with, it's really easy for them to divert to the goals of some, you know, national organization. And we want to make sure that both you get the empowerment and the feeling that you are capable of, you know, holding space and holding power within the State House, because it is your house, it is the people's house. But we also want them to hear your message. And through that greater exchange of storytelling and conversation, I think we can bring down the heat on some things and we can make sure that our efforts are better focused here at home.
Yeah, and I will say, even outside of that, because I know legislative session is not necessarily everyone's jam, I think all of our orgs host programming that doesn't involve, you know, trekking up to Topeka or potentially subjecting yourself to that energy, that space. But I think the biggest thing to center on that is finding a political home, which sounds kind of cheesy, but everyone has something that they care about. And there is an org out there for you to be a part of, something where you can find community, people with shared values, and hopefully take action on those values to make a difference. So even if it's not joining us at a State House day, a lobby day, or giving testimony, there's still ways that you can get involved that you find most comfortable and impactful.
Yeah, I think we touched on a couple of ways to get involved, but are there any other tactics outside of the dome we could also platform here?
Yeah, I think one of the biggest ones is interacting with your media. We know that, you know, in addition to convincing a legislator to vote a certain way, it also helps to just kind of shape the public narrative and what folks are reading in their news about an issue. And you can be a part of that by placing an op-ed in your paper. Certainly Loudlight and ACLU Kansas and Equality Kansas is always spotlighting storytellers who can speak to the issues that matter to them. So there's a lot of different ways to get involved, and media is another one.
All these tactics you've listed to get involved in the 2025 legislative session are great opportunities for Kansans to make their voices heard on the issues that are concerning to them. Are there any issues or committees that y'all have a particular concern about this session?
I think one of our biggest concerns this year is the trans healthcare bill. That's a bill that they've been trying to pass since, I think, 2020, maybe 2021. But multiple years, and this year with the expansion of the supermajority, I think that's definitely something to keep an eye on. That'll most likely go through the health committee on both the Senate and the House side. And that's a bill that we're keeping a very close eye on.
So obviously, as I've said before, for Loud Light, the focus really is on voting rights. And so for us, that looks like the 3-day grace period, which we've already mentioned. And that's certainly not the only voting rights bill we're concerned about. If folks want to be like informed with the up-to-date, you know, happenings of those bills as they progress, we put out on our social medias, including our YouTube page every single week, that Davis video where he kind of talks to us about like what's going on, as Donovan mentioned. And so I think that that's a great way for people to follow along through our socials.
Yeah. So although I care about all of the issues that we've talked about today, I particularly focus on LGBT plus issues and Black issues. As Taryn said, the healthcare ban is something that we're really paying close attention to in the LGBT plus space. Something that hopefully there will be action on is the Crown Act. There's not many instances where good bills happen, but specifically for like minority communities, we've seen this bill gain some traction in recent years. So hopefully there is more action on it this session and it passes.
Yeah, and ACLU, you know, it's all of the above. And then we're also keeping an eye on immigrant rights issues and reproductive freedom. So we know that, you know, it's a broken record. Like we won by 18 points in 2022, we defended the right to abortion, but every single year they introduce legislation to try to place more restrictions on abortion in Kansas. So we always will keep an eye on that along with our reproductive rights partners.
Yeah, one thing we can always count on for Kansas legislative session is some disappointing proposed bills like the SB 4 grace period bill, the trans healthcare bills. But something we could always count on too every year is successes and victories. Is there anything that y'all are all hopeful for this 2025 legislative session?
You know, every time these bills come up and we put them on Facebook or Twitter and we have testimony and we make statements on Facebook pages, it really brings awareness to what's going on in the legislature. And even if we don't have any good bills or we don't have any wins, bringing awareness to all these issues are so important.
Yeah, I think kind of the second, Taryn, I don't know if there's like a specific issue that I'm hoping, you know, I hope we stop everything bad, obviously. I want us to, that's what I'm hopeful for, that we will stop every attempt they have at undermining our rights. But also, I'm always thinking about that person that's like taking action for the first time. And that like there will be those people this year, like there always are. And that gives me a lot of hope because I just think it's so courageous and special to like, you know, stick your neck out for your community in a way that can feel like awkward and intense and scary and nerve-wracking. And well, people will do that every year and they will again. And you know, we'll all be here for them. Like we mentioned before, giving testimony to a room full of suits can be really intimidating. And some of those folks are hostile towards people giving testimony, that's the truth. But also, like I mentioned, like behind you and like figuratively in the community, you have hundreds of people around you that support you, who are, you know, thankful that you took that step for the first time to show up for what you believe in.
So certainly everyone in this room works on issues that have unfortunately been very polarized, even if they are not explicitly partisan. So talking about, you know, queer rights, voting rights, et cetera. But I think that like it's important to remember that the legislature does everything. So a couple things that I would love to see pass this year. One is outside of my work with LabLight, I also work a lot with an organization called URGE, Unite for Reproductive and Gender Equity. And one thing that they've been focused on this year and last is a menstrual equity bill that would get rid of the luxury sales tax that we currently still have in Kansas. And I think that's really important because when the legislature does have a recognition that we need tax relief, obviously everyone has a different understanding of what that should mean. But I think that there's lots of things that we can kind of focus on and come together on, such as, you know, making sure that like young people and low income people and people that are just struggling to put food on the table shouldn't have to worry about, you know, an excessive luxury tax on tampons when that's certainly not anything that I would call it luxury. So I think that that would be, you know, a little happy bill that I would love to see passed this year. And then also, I'm someone who's very passionate about education and nearly was an educator before I decided to come teach in the nonprofit realm. We had righted some previous wrongs in the state where we were able to fully fund education, but not yet special education. And that's another issue that is like near and dear to my family's heart.
Advocacy is like saying you care about an issue, educating people on it, organizing is bringing people along with you to like affect that change. And I think especially with like the adversity we'll face this session, something that always comes out of that adversity is new, interesting tactics that push the needle, that lean more on accountability and being creative. But I really like seeing what organizers and different orgs do in the face of adversity to make sure we're, you know, we're holding our legislators accountable and that we're thinking and moving strategically. Because even if we don't win at this current moment, that we win in the long run.
I think thinking about winning in the long run is a perfect way to conclude this episode of the Marching On podcast. Thank you to our guests, Donovan, Chloe, Taryn, Leslie, and Lindsay for joining us today. Hopefully this conversation can provide some clarity to the complexities of our Kansas State Legislature. For those looking for more information on how to submit testimony, lobby, or just stay up to date in general with the ongoings of our Kansas legislature, visit our 2025 Legislative Resource Hub on our website at aclukansas.org.
Thank you to all of our panelists, Leslie and Lindsay and Alina from the ACLU, and a very special thanks goes out to our guests from Equality Kansas and Loud Light, Taryn, Donovan, and Chloe. We're grateful to them not just for joining us for this conversation, but for the incredible work they do in advocating for civil liberties in Kansas. Now, we never end the podcast without asking you to take action on behalf of civil rights. During today's conversation, you heard that the ACLU of Kansas website has a legislative hub designed to help you be an advocate during this session. On this hub, you'll find concrete, easy-to-follow instructions on advocating with lawmakers and submitting testimony on bills, as well as other tools to help you be an advocate. We'll be updating the hub throughout the session so you can quickly find and connect on the issues that matter most to you. We ask you to use that hub to make your voice heard during the 2025 Kansas legislative session. That hub is pinned on the front page of our website, but you can also get there directly by going to www.aclukansas.org/ledge-hub. That's aclukansas.org/leg-hub. That does it for this episode of Marching On. For the ACLU of Kansas, I'm Micah Kubik. We'll be back next month for more conversations with the people working at the heart of the civil liberties movement in Kansas. Until next time, keep marching on.